greet you all, dearly beloved. We truly want to welcome you all this evening hour. So thankful for the opportunity that God gave us to come together in his house. We're especially thankful to have with us tonight Brother Merle Lockhoff from the Latty, Ohio congregation. Brother Merle tonight will begin with a prayer. Then he will share with us some of his thoughts that he's put together pertaining to the dangers of the New Age movement. So I know he will appreciate your continual prayerful support as he speaks to us tonight.
Thank you, Brother Joe. I want to greet each and every one of you. I have met some of you this evening, and I greet you certainly in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so let us begin our meeting this evening with prayer. Let us kneel. Our kind and loving Father in heaven, we have come together on this evening that we might recognize that thou art a living God, thou who hast created us, as well as heaven and the earth, and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who willingly died upon the cross that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Father, we thank thee for thy precious and thy living word of life, that we can therein find comfort and direction. And truly we recognize we are living in an evil time, a day and age where Satan is making inroads. And we plead, Father, that thou wilt always give us divine wisdom and understanding, that we might be able to discern the spirits, and that we might recognize thee as the Almighty God, the one who gave us our salvation and our peace. Father, we thank thee for thy traveling mercies in this day, that we could come and gather together with these our loved ones of like mind and faith, and that together we can assemble in thy name and share one with another. So, Father, we plead for the nearness and the power of thy Holy Spirit, that thou wouldst use thy weak and thy needy servants according to thy will. We ask that thou would cleanse and purify our hearts and minds. Make us vessels that are useful unto thee. We give thee the praise and the honor and the glory. And we ask that thou would bless each soul that has come this night, that thou would give them understanding, and that they might recognize those things that are around and about us. We praise thee and we honor thee through the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Tonight we're going to talk about a subject that is quite unusual, the New Age movement, the Age of Aquarius. Perhaps as many of you have heard of it. And I would like to read, to make a beginning, I would like to read a portion of Scripture out of Deuteronomy, chapter 18, beginning at verse 10. We have here the instructions of Moses, of God, through his servant Moses, to the children of Israel. Let us begin reading at the 9th verse. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. You know, that commandment is yet in effect today. It has not been rescinded or revoked. And I read that to give you a basis and a background of what the New Age builds on. Incidentally, I might just say that I have been reading and studying and researching this topic for 10 years. In April of 1982, an ad came out in 22 leading newspapers around the world. Newspapers like the New York Times and so forth. Full page ad, "The Christ is here," in large bold letters across the top. And of course, that was of interest to me. And from that point on, I have kept reading, researching, and following. And the movement from that time till now has accelerated to a great extent. Now for a definition. And I could give you several definitions. A New Age movement is a worldwide coalition of networking organizations. And this doesn't mean anything to you. It includes individuals bound together by a common mystical experience. Now that part, we can just go back and remember what I read there in Deuteronomy. A common mystical experience, such as any one of those items that we have read together. Witchcraft, a charmer, necromancy, which is speaking with the dead. And so this is the mystical experience of Eastern religions. They were an abomination in the sight of God in the time of Moses, and they're yet an abomination today. Now then, I'm going to read quickly the definition that was written by a New Age teacher who was in the New Age for 15 years and had a horrifying experience where he literally and actually saw demons. And by the grace of God, he was able to free himself, and he became a converted person. And today is spending his time teaching people about the New Age. Essentially, it is a Satan-controlled modern-day mass revival of occult-based philosophies and practices in both obvious and cleverly disguised forms. In effect, it is an end-times plague of the spirit propagating, and this of the spirit means the evil spirit, propagating the powerful delusion that they should believe the lie. It is nothing more than a glitteringly seductive road leading to eventual destruction. The New Age is actually not anything new at all. It always has been active throughout history in numerous and widespread Western occult traditions and Eastern mystical religions. Over the last three decades, however, an enormous and unprecedented massive revival of occult-based practices has been taking place, some of it distinguished as being non-occult in nature. To many people's surprise, New Age philosophy and practices have crept into every fabric of American society in both subtle and profound ways. The magnitude and momentum of this movement is to such an extent that it poses one of the fastest growing threats to Christianity, especially in the years ahead as the end times unfold. I have a lot of information, and we just must watch our time. And so some of this I'm going to skip. You will not be able to remember it. You will not recognize it. But the beginning of this started back in the 1800s. A lady who was involved in witchcraft in India. This lady would place herself in a trance, and this can be done by various methods. One of those methods would be hypnotism, bright lights, transcendental meditation, yoga, deep meditation. And in this process, the individual has a mystical experience. They changing from a normal consciousness to an abnormal or an altered state of consciousness. Now, this might sound a little complicated, but we are not in control of our minds, our mental capacities, when we are in a state of altered consciousness. And this, in effect, is opening the mind up to spirit entities or spirit guides, or, as Christ called them, demon spirits. And that is what happened to this lady. I could give you her name, I could give you dates, but a certain spirit entity spoke to her and became very well acquainted with her and directed her to write. And they wrote volumes of material. And when this lady died, the second lady became acquainted with this same spirit, and she wrote volumes. I'm missing a paper. And in one of the things that she wrote, her name was Alice Bailey. The book that she wrote was dictated to her by her spirit entity, her spirit guide, and the name of the book is Education in the New Age. And I'm going to read in that list of material, or in that book, there were 13 pillars, we might say, 13 high points which must be accomplished in our education field or with our children. Children of the future will serve a one-world government. Are you familiar with book of Revelation. Patriotism to one's country must be abolished and all national barriers destroyed in order to build a new one world order. Does this sound familiar? It does. Children will accept that Eastern mystical religion is to be married to the Christianity of the West to forge a new unified social and religious order of universal truths. Teens and youth will rebel and revolt against their parents and against authority to help usher in the new age world order. We read in the paper of, in the larger school systems, in our larger cities, children carrying guns, knives, even killing one another in class, in school. Youth and all humanity must accept that the time will inevitably come when grown-ups who refuse to become part of the new age will have to be killed. A traditional family unit is not desirable for the Aquarian or New Age. Children belong to the government. A new kind of family unit must inevitably come into existence. And incidentally, the definition of family, as told by the New Agers, a family are those with whom you live. Young people must be taught to believe in reincarnation and karma. Karma means that your life, your thoughts, your deeds, and however you lived your life will depend or will be a result of what you come back into the next life. They believe in reincarnation. Absurd and immature notions of sin and guilt must not be imparted to children by parents, teachers, pastors, and other adults. Children are taught that all religions, Christianity, witchcraft, Hinduism, and so forth, all of them, paganism, are equally worthwhile. A new generation of youth must recognize that Jesus did not come to save or convert anyone because no one is lost. Christian doctrines such as heaven, hell, and judgment must be discarded, and the theology of the Old Testament must be repudiated. A new world religion must be established without Christ as Lord and Savior. The coming New Age world religion will emphasize the unity of all religions while rejecting Jesus Christ, Christ's profound biblical statement, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." These are the 10 pillars. And I believe that we can readily see the transition that has taken place in the last 20, 30, 40 years. Some of the buzzwords, some of the names whereby they identify themselves one to another, the Aquarian conspiracy, the age of Aquarius, humanistic psychology, networking movement, new thought religion, the new church, the third wave, the third force, new consciousness, transcendental movement, the new spirituality. And so the principal aim of this Satan-inspired movement is a new world order, a new world religion, a new age Christ, who is neither Jesus nor Christ. Hence that ad that came out 10 years ago in April, "The Christ is here." Now then, we're going to review just a few things of what they believe. They believe in a central spiritual being known as the Source. They worship the God of Force in Daniel chapter 11, verse 38. It tells us that they worship the God of Force. They believe in God immanent, which means God within. And this is the humanism. We are gods in ourselves. They believe in the law of rebirth, which is reincarnation, coming back. They believe in that God is inferior to something known as solar logos. Solar logos. The word logos refers to the word or the power, the source. They believe that Jesus and Christ are two entities and that Christ is an office rather than a man. First John chapter 2 verse 22 states that the Antichrist will deny that Jesus is the Christ. And 1 John 4:3, which states that he will deny that Jesus is come, that Jesus come is in the flesh. And this is the Antichrist. They believe in evolution. They believe in salvation by initiation and works rather than by atonement and grace. They believe in the interconnectedness of all things, the doctrine of wholeness. They have a deep and abiding hatred for Judaism, Orthodox Catholicism, and fundamental Christianity in particular. A hatred for God the Father, which expresses itself to hatred for the Muslims who refuse to renounce their faith. They believe in the existence of masters of an occult hierarchy. They believe in an inner government of the planet, which is administered by this hierarchy. And again, here are some of the buzzwords: holistic transformation, spaceship, global village, crowded planet, paradigm, vision or new vision, global thread, and so forth. They have signs, the rainbow. A few years back, all of a sudden, you went into a Bible bookstore. I went into one in Fort Wayne and purchased something. I don't know what it was, but they put it in a sack with a rainbow on the outside. And I said to the clerk, "Don't you know that stands for the New Age?" And he said, "Yes, it does. I realize that, but it also has a good spiritual meaning," and I agreed. But you see automobiles with the rainbow dangling from the mirror. They use this. It has a significance for them, but they use it because it portrays a godliness, a superficial, artificial. The triangle. Now we're getting into some of the symbols. The triangle. You know, on the dollar bill, you've noticed the pyramid with the eye on top. It has the Roman numerals. And I don't know Roman numerals, but I do know that that stands for 1776, when the Illuminati was organized. The Illuminati, the Trilateralists, the Bilderbergers, Council of Foreign Affairs, all these people are a part of this movement, pressing towards one world government, pressing towards power, greed, and domination.
Some more of their symbols. The centering symbol, a series of progressively smaller circles with a larger circle leading to a dark and distant center.
Rays of light is another. A cross with diagonals placed against it, the circle. Just a circle.
The circle with a point in the center, the circle divided in two, the circle divided in four, the swastika, the number 666, these are all occult symbols. And they use them because they believe they're honoring Lucifer.
Incidentally, these books that I told you were transcribed and written, dictated by demon spirits, are contained in the Lucius Publishing Company in New York City, a large brick building with huge numbers on the outside, 666. It was formerly known as the Lucifer Publishing Company. And finally, this appeared to be somewhat intimidating, and so they changed it to Lucius.
They have infiltrated industry.
Many large corporations are supportive of this movement.
Lockheed Aircraft, Blue Cross Blue Shield, Rockefeller Foundation, John Deere Plow Company,
and the list goes on and on.
In the infiltration in the corporations, they go into management, into sales. They have penetrated these areas with various seminars, and they sell these seminars to the corporations, telling them that it will aid in self-motivation, self-help, higher creativity, improved memory, and success motivation.
Corporations are interested in these.
Five recent presidents have taken the training of various people that are involved in these seminars. They have infiltrated, as we said, almost every organization. Unfortunately, they've infiltrated into our schools. And they use the same salesmanship to the administrators and to the boards of education as they do with the corporations. At one time, I went through the Quest program. I obtained the teacher's manual, and I went through that page by page, exercise by exercise. And it's very difficult for you to come right out and say, this is wrong, this is satanic,
This is evil. But the bottom line of the whole program is mental manipulation, mental therapy. Every exercise they had the children form conversational circles. And this may seem just fine to some of you involved in teaching. Nevertheless, the circle is a symbol of Satan, but putting the children in a circle puts undue peer pressure upon a child. Some of their exercises are invading of privacy. In some of these curriculums, the teacher keeps journals and records what happens and things that are discussed. Some of these exercises are so written and so designed, they'll have the children form the conversational circle. And they'll have an exercise called brainstorming. But what is brainstorming? Some kind of a word or number exercise where they begin to relate and they go around that circle. And the momentum and the speed picks up. And pretty soon you have a rhythmic chant. A basic ingredient in witchcraft. Just a little bit of leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And this is the design of it, to subject the young mind to the occult, just little by little. They're not aware of it. These plans, these curriculums are written by professionals. They hold doctor's degrees, doctors of philosophy, of psychology, and in their field they're highly trained. They're well paid. How are they supported? By corporations. The Lions Club of America, Reynolds Tobacco Company, and Kellogg's of Battle Creek, Michigan, are supporters and financed the Quest program. And every program, I've got an education newspaper here. It's called the Education Reporter. And I understand that you have the curriculum PUMSI in this area. And in this newspaper, it shows a teacher with her PUMSI, her dragon, telling the class that when God leaves you, you'll still have PUMSI. PUMSI will never leave you. And in these exercises, they use what we call guided imagery. Role playing. These are detrimental and can bring serious consequences to a child. And to think that these exercises are started in kindergarten. Now, I'm well aware that we need a portion of self-esteem. But I can't quite agree that a child of 5 or 6 or 7 is in need of self-esteem. Maybe they're in need of love, parental love. That I can agree with.
A child from the ages of 3 to 5 are in their formative years. Their personality, their character is established in those very critical years. And until a child reaches the age of 7, they cannot differentiate between fact and fantasy. And many of these exercises are purely fantasy, guided imagery, and in all cases, they're downplaying God. Just as that lady says, when God leaves you, you'll still have Pumsy. Now, I can give you names of people involved, but I think I would be wasting time. I'd like to read for you a couple paragraphs from a humanist magazine. And in there, and it's quote, I am convinced, the author says, I am convinced that the battle for humankind's future must be waged and won in the public school classrooms by teachers who correctly perceive their roles as proselytizers of a new faith, a religion of humanity that recognizes and respects the spark of what theologians call divinity in every human being. These teachers must embody the same selfless dedication as the most rabid fundamentalist preacher, for they will be ministers of another sort, utilizing a classroom instead of a pulpit to convey humanist values in whatever subjects they teach, regardless of the educational level, preschool, daycare, whatever. The class must and will become an arena of conflict. Between the old and new, the rotting corpse of Christianity, together with all its adjacent evils and miseries, and the new faith of humanism, resplendent in its promise of a world in which the never realized Christian ideal of love thy neighbor will finally be achieved. Going back to the dollar bill with the pyramid, there was the Roman numeral 1776. Under that, there are some Latin words. I haven't been a student of Latin, but if you have been or are, you will be able to read. And this imprint on the dollar bill began in President Franklin Delano Roosevelt's time. And those words say, the new world order. And we heard that word so much during the Gulf War. Children are desensitized to various things that are going to be horrible. They're desensitized to death and dying, killing and torture. In preparation for abortion, euthanasia, genocide, suicide, as well as death for refusal to accept the initiation into the new age. As I told you, the occult symbol is used as power from the god of force. If you have children and they sit on Saturday and watch television, they are bombarded with occultic symbols in the hope that this child will be influenced. If the child reads comic books,
he will be bombarded with occultic symbols in addition to pornography. Children's toys are loaded with occultic symbols. Clothing is adorned with occultic symbols. Several weeks ago, I gave this talk at Toledo. We had 12 to 15 college students there, and along with that, brothers and sisters. But those young students, after we finished the discussion, they came up to the front and they just held me there for an hour sharing. They said, "You know, we knew there's something weird going on and we didn't know what it was." A sister had purchased a tape which was musical background for their home stereo system. She didn't know New Age from whatever, classical, but she thought it sounded rather nice. She took it home and started using it, and I think she had 5 children. And she said, "You know, before long, those children were quarreling and bickering, and I couldn't put my finger on it. I couldn't figure it out. And for some reason, and it had to be the Spirit of Almighty God, told her and moved her, let's try turning the music off. Maybe it's the music." She said, "I stopped it and music to your unborn children." Now you're what is New Age music? What does it sound like? It can be depressing. It's earth tones. It's stringed. It can be depressing, period. And it can have subliminal messages, I don't know. Even names, if a mother has a difficulty in selecting a name for a child, they buy a book with names. They've invaded that. They've got their names in there. You can pick out a name and you can be naming a child, giving honor to something that you're not acquainted with. Now, these curriculums, and there are many, DUSO, Quest, PUMSY, Impressions, TAD, and the list just goes on and on, but basically they are all the same. They have in mind one goal: to change and transform the thinking of that child. In Texas, 25% of all the school systems have a program, curriculums that are called, and I don't have that sheet with me for some reason. They have a program called My Friends and Me. It's Up to Me and Many Others. The curriculums employ psychological manipulation through guided imagery, visualization, role-playing, situational ethics, values clarification.
values clarification is nothing more than changing the value of something which you have been taught. This is right, this is wrong. The value that has been established in a child's mind by his parents, by the church, by Sunday school, and they design situations and they allow the child they give them the freedom to make their own decisions. They are mentally conditioned in these areas, and we know we're learning more and reading more about it, and we're just almost hesitant to even speak of them. Promiscuous sex, deviant sex, homosexuality, lesbianism. The seeds of this negative condition are very carefully and subtly planted. Two members of our faith, after I gave this dissertation, the one told me that children of their third grade class were asked to write an essay, and it's entitled "How to Run Away from Home." Now this is real edifying, isn't it? How to run away from home. A child, an innocent child. A fourth grade teacher had been giving handouts for several years showing 8 types of people who cast spells. These pictures were of a witch, a wizard, a necromancer, and a few others. And then she would play games, some kind of a board game, with the students using these characters. In Texas, the name of that program, the curriculum there, It's Up to Me, is used in 25% of the schools throughout that large state of Texas. The program is supposed to help youth improve their self-concept through personal assessment, skill development, and growth and change. This course requires that students reveal their attitudes, beliefs, actions, convictions, interests, aspirations, likes, dislikes, goals, purposes. In other words, their value indicators. Privacy invasion. Our children are taught that the only authority they need follow is the inner light or their higher self. This is occultism. New Age educators are deliberately trying to bring about a transformation of thinking, morals, worldview, and personal identity in public schools across America. Now, this program, It's Up to Me. Here's a few examples. The child must complete the following sentence: if I had 24 hours to live, if I had a gun, I would. People can hurt my feelings most by. I am afraid to. I feel most mistreated when. Children are required to recite mantras such as, and I'll read this, and as they begin to recite these, they begin faster and faster and faster. I am me because I own all of me. Now you see the seed that they're trying to plant there? I can become intimately acquainted with me. I own me, and therefore I can engineer me. I am me, and I am okay. These children are taught the origin of values is their own experience. The origin of value is their own experience. And this is wrong. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Now then, the latest, I'm going to give you just a few current events. In August of 1990, over 500 religious leaders of the world assembled in Sacramento, California. An Assyrian gave the invocation. And in this invocation, he prayed to God and ask God to help them that they might unite to put all religions and all peoples under one canopy, one umbrella, one faith. In June of this year, there will be representatives from 160 nations who will meet in Brazil, Rio de Janeiro, and there they will sign agreements pertaining to this earth, the preservation of the earth. They worship the earth as a god. We recognize the value of the earth and we respect it and we do the best we can to preserve it. But they worship the earth. Last year, our president selected a new cabinet post, the post of the Minister of Education, the member of education, the cabinet post. His name is Lamar Alexander. In 1989, he was a featured speaker at the Kansas Governor's Educational Summit. Mr. Alexander used the occasion to propose that we create what he called a brand new American school. And we've been hearing a little more and more about the American school. The particular characteristic of this school would be that it would be open year-round from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. And it would attend to the needs of children from the ages of 3 months to 18 years. How about you young mothers? Would you like to take your 3-month-old child to school at 6 o'clock in the morning? This man has a cabinet post, Secretary of Education, and he is an avowed New Ager. How do we know? He had written a book, and in that book he wrote of the author of a man that had written a book that influenced Mr. Alexander's life more than any other, and he was a New Ager. His book tells us that. There are avenues for parents
in schools where we have these curriculums. In 1984, there was so much flack across America from parents, educators, and boards of education because of these programs that our government sent 7 senators, or a group of senators, a committee, I should say, into 7 different cities around the world, around the United States. And in each city, they spent one day listening to testimony of parents who had bad experiences. Phyllis Schlafly, and I know many of you have heard of her, wanted them to publish these testimonies, and they would not. So she goes to the Congressional Library and goes through this material. There it is. And she takes it and puts it in book form. And we can read for ourselves of the various programs and what is going on in our schools across America. And as a result of this, there was initiated the Hatch Amendment. He's a senator, Senator Hatch. And this amendment gives the parents the authority to withdraw their children from those classes. Schools will recognize this. But in some schools, they're beginning to try and evade and go around this by the use of whole language education. Whole language education is a mixture, putting together the classes, say, for instance, English, health, math, all in one class. And so you cannot differentiate. But in the English class, they might have a portion of a New Age curriculum, write an essay, the best way to run away from home, or something like that, and then check them for English. Even our people who are in industry, who are working, and if the company sends you on a seminar, training seminar, they must, if it pertains to your religious beliefs, you can be excused under a certain law and act. I think I've just about covered the main meat. And I don't know whether the brothers here, whether you have a period of questions or whether we should just finish up, and then if you have any questions, we'll discuss them. So, Brother Joe, I'll turn it over to you.
A lot of food for thought, isn't it? Reminds me of scripture that warns us over and over as Christians not to be asleep. I guess that was one of the most predominant thoughts I had while Brother Merle was speaking, that it's time for us to wake up as Christians. We get caught up in our own little things, even as adults, don't we? And we get focused on so many things that seem so trivial when we're brought together under a night like tonight and recognize how evil the world is and how involved we are in it. Just had a couple of scriptures that came to my mind. In Ephesians, where we're warned to have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. I think that's what this effort was tonight, is to reprove the unfruitful works of darkness. Down a little further, it says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." That's an admonition to Christians. We should walk as not as fools, not with our eyes closed, but as wise. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And we cannot deny that the days are evil. "Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Then I turned over into 1 John. And it just jumped out at me here at the 18th verse in the second chapter. It says, "Little children," and that scripture is so comforting to us as Christians. We don't have to be, we need to be alert. We need to be concerned, but we don't have to be in despair. The Lord speaks to us here with his word as little children. With the facts, it is the last time. "And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time." Then drop down to verse 20, it says, "But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things." And that unction from the Holy One is the Holy Spirit that lives within us. John goes on to say, "I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ?" That's where we have to come back to. We have to come back to Jesus and recognize that he is the Christ. And we have to teach that to our children. We have to live totally committed to that. He is an antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. "Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. He that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also." Now listen to this verse, verse 24. And perhaps this is a summary for us to take home tonight. "Let that, therefore, abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life." So what an encouragement for us to first look at the evil that is in the world, the evil that is open to us through not only the schools, the media, television, magazines, books, music. I mean, are we participating in some of these things and then concerned that our children are getting the wrong message? If we are, it's time to wake up. It's time to make some changes. And it's time to focus on Jesus Christ and on his word. And it's time to be assured in our own minds that we need to let, therefore, that abide in us which we had heard from the beginning. That which is centered on Jesus Christ. And we need to take a stand. We need to speak out. We need to share our feelings. We need to be alert to what's in the schools here in Morton. We need to voice our concerns. We need to watch our children's activities, their textbooks. We need to examine how much time we're spending with our children. Are we in the home? Are we there to train and rear up our children? Are we there to hear them and listen to them? Are we there to protect them, provide for them? The Lord is faithful He's merciful. He's explained to us what's going to come and what is here upon us. And he's given us his word to guide us and to keep us close to him. May it be that that's the road that we take as we leave here tonight, with a new dedication, a new commitment, a new analysis of our own position, redeeming the time because the days are evil, says the word. May the Lord bless our brother Merle, who is kind enough to come and share these years of research. I asked Brother Merle how he got acquainted with this information, and he said, I believe, if I quote him right, that it started when he was perhaps, I will editorialize this, was awakened by that newspaper article that says Christ is here. What was that, 10 years ago? Well, we all need to be awakened by this. And then from there, search it out and compare it to the benchmark, compare it to the scriptures, and commit our life anew to Christ, because he has promised us eternal life.
Let us close with prayer now at this time. Almighty God in heaven, we again fall upon our knees at the close of this midweek service, this family worship night, thanking thee for this time we could have together. We again thank thee for the scriptures which we have read and for the warnings that we have heard through our Brother Merle, who has traveled over many miles to be with us in this night. We pray that thou wouldst bless him. And as we have heard these warnings in this night, dear God, we again would ask that thou wouldst alert us to the many things which are going on in the world about us. Help us to be aware and more aware. And yet, as we become aware of these things, also help us, dear God, to search them out in the Scriptures. We so much want to live the Scriptures according to thy will and according to the truth. Indeed, we would pray for our young children and the children of all ages. But we pray for them, dear God, that thou wouldst protect them from the wiles of the devil and his schemes and his plans. We pray also for parents, that they can be attuned and alerted to these many things which are going on, that they can discuss these things with their own children and warn them, that communication can take place between parents and their children. We pray for our school system. We pray that it might be strengthened, and that, dear God, that you would work within our school system. We pray that thou wouldst bless our teachers, our school board, our administrators, and that thou wouldst lead them by the Holy Spirit, that thou wouldst talk to each and every one of them and make them aware of the fact how important education is, and dear God, how important thou art in the lives of all of us. Again, we just ask that as we go from this church tonight, that thou wouldst bless each and every one who has come here, and even those who will hear this tape in the future. Again, go with us, watch over and protect us. We ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.